Here we are.
Showtime.
Now, this is a first for the Three Bins Salad podcast.
Yeah.
We are recording on Saturday morning. Hey, kids!
School's out. Time to go crazy.
And who's got the fun hammer? I've got the fun hammer.
What are you doing listening to a podcast? Turn it off, kids, and get out there and climb the tree.
Hey? Yeah.
Shut up, Granddad.
Yeah.
Throw an egg at a neighbour's house. Come on, kids.
I will climb up that tree, Grandad. What kind of Wi-Fi has it got?
Shut up. Yeah. Not my grandson.
That's quite a good idea, sort of Saturday morning kids TV show where it's like an antagonistic relationship between a grandfather and some kids who like smash up his knees with the fun hammer.
Yeah. Because it's actually a real hammer.
And fun is just a point of view, isn't it? That's the lesson, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. By the way, not only are we recording it on Saturday for the first time, but I believe this might be the first time that we're recording the podcast on the first day of meteorological spring. It's the 1st of March. Get out your rhubarb and get out your strongest colanders, head to a local pond or lake and start sieving for toads. Because there's too many of them. And,
Sieve and chuck.
Sieve and chuck.
Launch them into the next parish.
Your local mayor will give you 30p for every toad you stand on. So do get down there.
Yeah. And bring the family. It can be a lot of fun, can't it?
So it's the first day of meteorological spring, which I don't think is a word I'll ever be able to confidently say.
What's the other kind of spring then?
Gregorian spring? Magnetic spring?
There's magnetic spring, which swaps around, doesn't it?
It's slightly askance to the usual. Askance. It's sort of not exactly where you'd expect it to be, necessarily.
Which means if you take a dump on the International Space Station over the next 24 hours...
A crocus will grow in your turd.
Yeah, so you need to just make sure you take lots of photos.
Shotos?
What's that?
You said shotos.
Yes, there's a photo of a shit.
Yeah, yeah, shotos, yeah. It's the first day of meteorological spring.
I think you've got to run into it harder. I think that's the problem. It's a confidence issue.
Okay, it's the first day of meteorological spring, you dicks.
That felt a bit, I don't know.
That's too much, wasn't it? Yeah. You can throw it away, haven't you? It's the first day of meteorological spring at the end of the day. Yeah.
What if you try and enjoy every syllable? Try that.
It's the first day of meteorological spring.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I was in London this week, and I get excited when I come to London. And... went out for some food, and I thought, I know, I'm going to get a tiramisu. So I ordered a tiramisu, and it was shit.
Oh, dear.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, Ben, because there's a huge variation in what you can get when you order a tiramisu. There's a massive spectrum, and they can be really bad, they can be great.
Yeah. I've realised what it is that I want. I want it to come sliced on a sort of plate.
Okay.
Like a slice has been taken from a larger tiramisu. That's what I want.
That's probably more authentic. Did you get a little bowl,
you
like
got a
little
ramekin or something?
I got like a like made in a kind of glass bowl thing. And as soon as you see that, you know it's rubbish.
It's been shipped in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Because really it's a big tray that's made like a sort of sweet lasagna, isn't it?
Yeah. Like a big mattress.
A big soft mattress. Yeah. With layers of...
You want to know that it's just been made that day under your feet in the sort of dank underground London kitchen cellar.
Yeah.
Rat infested.
Yeah.
Full of flavours. Everywhere you look, there's flavours. imbuing every dish.
And that's thousands of years of rats, isn't it? Those flavours have developed over generations. They've been handed down from rat to rat.
Rats that have come from across the world.
Yeah. You know? So that when they scurry into, and they will have done... take a dump inside that tiramisu. Because they will have done that. They know how to cover their tracks on the way out, so that no one knows. There's never any evidence that it's happened.
And it gives you that is the meaning of je ne sais quoi.
That is the exact meaning of je ne sais quoi.
We've learned to describe those bits as the coffee.
That's right, the coffee element.
We find a way to cope. Yeah. Of course we do.
It's a euphemism for rat, for rat dung.
So, I was in London, so I was living the London life, which I was really enjoying.
Yeah.
I was being put up in a hotel that was in the centre of London.
Oh, really?
You're being put up?
Yeah. And so I would leave the hotel, and immediately in front of me I would see a drunk guy pissing on the street. Oh, you know, the perfect central London stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know you're there.
I was right by Trafalgar Square. It was really good. Mm-hmm. And I was living the London life, which meant going to Pret every morning.
Yeah. Also, that's not just any drunk guy. It's Simon Sharma. Which you don't even mention now, but yeah.
I went into Pret every morning. And I think Pret has got this... You know, there's those tests to see if you're morally good. So the big one is if you take your trolley back in the supermarket. Because there's nothing compelling you to do it.
Yeah.
So the only reason to do it is because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, if you just leave it in the car park, there's no comeback on you.
What I do?
Yeah.
Kick it towards the stir fry packs. And walk I spin on my heel and walk the fuck out. And I make an exit, all right. Everyone turns their head. Who the hell was that? And it's careering around, knocking over those stir-fry meal deals.
And pensioners.
By the stir-fry meal deals, you get one pack of veg, you can choose three or four meats, and there's two or three sauces you can choose from, if you can get past the shopping trolley that's upside down in front of them. Anyway, yeah.
So that's thought of as one of the few tests of pure altruism.
Yeah, is it? Who says that?
Some leading philosopher. I don't know.
Benjamin Partridge.
It's a thing. It's thought of as being a test.
I like that.
And you can basically parcel people into people who would take it back to the thing or just leave it. And those people are...
Those people are morally the lowest of the low.
Yeah, scum.
But there's a few other little tests like that.
Yeah.
Aren't there? Have you ever murdered anyone?
Okay. Okay.
But another one is, do you clear away your stuff into the kind of bin section of an Itsu or a...
Yeah. Great example.
There's quite a few restaurants now, or cafe/restaurants like that, where it's sort of ambiguous if you're being asked to do that or not. You sort of can do it.
Mm.
Are you suggesting the whole thing is a behavioural psychology
thesis? I think it might be.
By Berkeley University.
By Professor Derek Itsu. And it's just been the most expensive PhD of all time. He's had to spend so much of his time actually making sushi and stuff. He's barely got around to writing any of his results.
His parents are tearing their hair out.
They're really, really worried about him.
Anyway, there's a new one in Pret, which is when you buy the Pret porridge, there is then like a little kind of trough underneath, mm-hmm. and you're meant to pick up either a honey pack, mm-hmm. a little tiny plastic pot of nuts and raisins.
Yeah, yeah.
Or feed the starving guinea pig in box three.
And the starving guinea pig, he's got quite a nice little sort of powder.
He's got
blue,
a kiss curl, yeah.
He's got kiss curls. He's got a powder blue little bow tie stuck to his head, hasn't he? And the music, that music they use in the film Platoon is playing constantly next to him.
Samuel Barber's Dodge Over Strings. Strings.
So what is it? You've got the option to what? Kick him in the tummy? No, or give some of it to him.
So basically you can get honey,
yeah,
little pot of seeds, or a little pot of jam, and you're only meant to take one.
Yes.
And they've put up a little sign saying, please take only one. Leave the rest for the other porridge lovers. In a kind of slightly kind of whimsical, you know.
That's interesting. Because the honey and the nuts would be such a winning combination, surely.
Well, exactly. So this week, when I... Mm. In some Prets, you don't have the trough system. They give you the nuts, well, kind of themselves, and they ask you what you would like. And I said, I'll have honey, please. And she went, go on, have some nuts as well. And just give me the nuts.
Ben, that means you might actually be in the concluding paragraph of his PhD. I think that's like a key argument at the end, which is if you give someone a special option, what do they do?
Well, what it did was it opened a window in my mind. Mm. So that when I went the next day into a different Pret and it was the trough system, I thought, well, I could take some nuts and some honey because this has been sanctioned by the staff in the other store.
The agent provocateur in the other store.
But it's a good example of like moral slippage. Mm. You do something once and a door is opened. You cross the Rubicon.
Mm. And then pretty soon you're making wardrobes out of human bone. Oh, yeah. And it's just a slow, steady slip till that, isn't it?
But on day three, then, I only took honey because, again, I don't know, I went back to the mean. I don't know why.
But that's tricky because if you're a jamist, you're not going to want the others with the jam, surely. I mean, there aren't people having nuts with the jam, are they?
Jam on porridge feels weird anyway to me.
Really? I think jam, I'd be up for that. But honey and nuts, I mean, put them together, you can...
Honey and nut, they pass it. It's like cheese and ham, isn't it? Was there an option for that? Yeah, that's quite interesting, that sort of... it's sort of a trust system, isn't it?
Mm. There's someone's basically brought the honesty box, the vegetable honesty box,
yeah,
to the big city.
I've always had a little life hack with honesty boxes, which is actually you don't have to put anything in them. And another little life hack I've got is, if by the side of the road, there's a sign which says, take some eggs and give us a bit of money, please. You don't actually have to put any money.
Reverse your high-end diet and into the whole stall, smash all the eggs up and...
Yeah. You take as many as you need and you smash the rest. Oh, and I've got a bit of
loose change as well, as it happens.
I've got a bit of loose change as well, which I might take. And what's this? Oh, I've got a can of petrol in the back of my car and I've accidentally poured a bit on the road and I've dropped a... Match, I've set fire to a bit of the road here. Well, I've set fire to this road now, so no one else can use it.
For the next 8 seconds.
Is it till it burns, till it safely burns off? I've just cleaned a section of road. For free. Now I can think of it. Fuck.
Now my car's broken now because I've sucked all the petrol out of the tank. And now there seems to be an angry farmer approaching me, wondering what on earth has happened to his egg stall.
Yeah, and he's I only got about 70p's worth of eggs out of the whole thing when you think about it as well.
Still, it's a life hack, isn't it?
In my in my evenings in London, I went to this pub that was opposite the hotel.
Mm.
And you know when you go into a pub and there's just like a really off atmosphere in there?
Mm.
And I went in, I sat down, and everyone in there, as I was on their own. Which leads to like such a weird pub vibe.
Which is, we could all make love. If one of us just breaks the ice.
Uh-oh. Lewd content warning. Lewd content.
Hey, hey, hey!
Probably we'll spend the whole night just staring into our phones, staring into our pints of stout. And not communicate with each other in any way.
Not doing the same Sudoku in the Evening Standard.
Yeah. Exactly. But if one of us just breaks the ice, this could turn into the ultimate fuck-a-doodle duff. Fuck-a-licious orgy for fucking hell. This could be... We'd rebuild Rome in this. We could rebuild Rome.
An orgy with bitter on tap.
An orgy with Sky Sports 1 in the background. Actually, no, it's not Sky Sports 1. It's just the golf. It's some sort of golf.
What stopped the orgy from taking place was the TV. There was a big TV. It was actually a projector screen.
Mm.
And they were showing an episode of Only Fools and Horses.
Strange.
With English subtitles on.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it was just a whole room of about 30 people, mainly men, on their own, watching an episode. There was no sound, though, so it was silent. Yeah. A silent episode of... Only Fools and Horses, where you could read the dialogue.
Was there music as well coming out of the speakers from the jukebox?
Well, this is what I'm about to come on to.
Oh.
So for some reason, there was no sound from the Fools and Horses, which makes sense because it's weird to go into a pub and hear David Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not weird to go into a pub and read David Jason. Yeah.
Talking about having a nice time in a fictional pub with some actual... With some friends.
So there was a bit of music playing, you know, some... normal pub music, and that stopped then, and then Only Fools and Horses started, but they didn't put the sound on. So then that's on, we're reading it, having a great time, and then the reason they turned off the music is because a bloke turned up with an electric guitar and he was going to be doing the entertainment,
right?
So about halfway through the episode, he plugs in the electric guitar and then just starts playing like rock guitar but with no accompaniment, so just an electric guitar on its own.
Is Only Fools and Horses still going on at this point?
Yeah.
But with the Top Gun theme underneath it.
Anyway, the guy starts playing the guitar, really loud and awful. Like, an electric guitar on its own is awful. It needs a band. He wasn't singing. It was just... And then I would say within about 5 minutes... everyone left the pub.
Because of the electric guitar.
Yeah. That's an amazing call, isn't it? Because even your average middle-aged man who's like a sort of weekend warrior with the guitar, I mean, they buy special CDs with backing tracks
exactly.
to play along
yeah.
too, because even they understand, even in the privacy of their own home, they don't want to hear themselves exposed nakedly.
Yeah.
Oh, it needs something.
And there, we all just quietly finished our drinks and left.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
But useful to know for sort of crowd control. Put away your water cannons.
Right, yes. And hire Dave. Much cheaper.
Okay, time to turn on the beam machine.
Yes, please.
Topic as sent in by Samuel.
Hello, Samuel.
From 84A High Street.
But we don't know which town.
We don't know which town.
Okay. Nice. So if you were very determined, you could track him down. It would take quite a while.
Is Giants.
Nice.
Giants.
Giants from 84A. I'm wondering if that means Samuel lives above a shop.
Oh, nice. Okay, forget the topic. We're going to track down Samuel.
Why is he so interested in giants?
It's going to be 20 minutes of sleuthing. Mm-hmm. Let's sleuth out this guy. So you think he lives above a shop?
Yeah. He's on the...
Because of the A?
And because he's on the high street, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so if I put 84A High Street into Google,
yeah.
What comes up is a restaurant.
Okay.
Ooh. They sell smoked meats, nice. And American-style barbecue.
I like that kind of thing. Barbecue.
Yeah, it looks...
Ribs, I imagine.
Welcome to our barbecue Texan pop-up. Watch the pit boss in action in our open kitchen.
Oh,
okay.
Savor the best smoked ribs, brisket, and pulled pork that make our pop-up a standout destination.
Okay. And if you live in a flat that constantly stinks of barbecue sauce and slow-cooked meats, I mean, what topic would you land on? Something with a hearty appetite. A giant. Perhaps.
Yes. Or does he look out of his window a lot of the time, see heads moving past? They're actually people on the top floor of a bus, but because on the first floor he thinks they're giants.
With disproportionately small heads. and very smooth movement.
And very, he may think he's that they're circling him. Pinheaded, smooth-moving giants are circling his apartment. Why? He was told it was a mistake to live above a business, but he thought that was a reference to smells from a restaurant, etc., and early morning stock drop-offs. No one told him about the smooth-moving pinhead giants, one of which looks a lot like his nephew, who also lives in the town.
To give you a sense of this restaurant, I'm going to read you some reviews from TripAdvisor. I've got a 5-star review first.
Yeah,
great for meat lovers. Great food and friendly, helpful staff. Good atmosphere. Only slight negative, this is a 5-star review, by the way, only slight negative is that the toilets are a little basic, being port-a-loos with no lighting.
Okay.
But this didn't detract from a good evening, even in February, and I would go again.
That food must be really good.
It must be really good.
Despite my shit and piss-covered trousers at the end of the night.
But if you throw enough barbecue sauce over them, nobody notices.
No one notices. I'm going to say something, which is, I think I'm slightly over-pulled pork, I'm going to say. What do you guys, what are your takes on pulled pork?
Not over it. I can't imagine being over it, really.
Okay, so you still like it. It's a very moist form of pork. The thing is, to me, this restaurant sounds like it's trying to be... Well, the fact that it's a pop-up and the fact that it's got pulled pork and it's kind of leaning into a kind of Americana sort of vibe. To me, it feels like it's trying to follow a trend or something. It's trying to be current or trend-based in its thinking, which to me, Ben, I just think it feels like quite different from your meat environment, which is the carvery, which is sort of immune to history.
Timeless.
It's immune to history. Yeah. It's immune to international prerogatives.
And laws.
It's immune to international meat laws and hygiene standards, isn't it? Because it just... It's just there.
Yeah. Ever since the time of the troubadour arriving in the town, singing his songs, his payment, a carvery.
Indeed.
Perhaps a bed of straw. No more.
Yeah. Most Toby Carveries are in the Doomsday Book.
Yeah. But there's something about, because pulled pork for you would be anathema, I'm guessing, isn't it, in a carvery setup?
Well, pulled pork is how, in a carvery, that's the instead of crackers, isn't it? You stuff a little toy in a bit of pork and you cross hands with the person next to you and you pull the pork and, one bit of pork's got a quid in it, basically.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's a spaceman's eye. It's actually a pig's eye. But
you tell yourself what you need to tell yourself.
It's a spaceman's eye. And then it's fun for the kids, isn't it? it's a wizard's hoof. It's a pig's hoof. It's a cursed wizard's hoof.
It's a wizard's throat. It's a farmer's throat that the pig ate, leading to its slaughter for revenge purposes.
Oh, it's Cilla Black's hairy back. It's a pig's hairy back.
Yeah. It could actually be Cilla Black's hairy back.
Next review of Oakley Restaurant.
Yeah.
1 star. Shocking. Avoid. Avoid this place. Mm. We waited a ridiculous amount of time to get our £30 barbecue platters, which were all cold,
except for
a small bit of sausage on the plate. The pulled pork was cold, congealed, and not with any sauce.
Oh, my God, dear Lord. Is she suggesting it had unpulled itself? It had gone back to its pre-pulled state.
Bungee pork.
Is it bungee pork? Blimey, that would be a hell of a deal, wouldn't it? Mm. It's a delicious meal, but if you eat it, it will kill you because you'll have eaten through the bungee. It's a delicious dicing with death pork challenge. It's bungee pork.
It's the ultimate dilemma stag do.
Will you cull off some of those old friends from uni who, frankly...
It is hard keeping in touch as people spread and leave in different regions and get kids and everything.
You basically, politically, you don't see eye to eye with them anymore. You've both interpreted the, inverted commas, woke cultural change in different ways. You've both gone in different directions.
Maybe it's time to thin the herd.
It's time to thin the herd. Or, unfortunately, though, will you actually end up losing that new playwright friend of yours who you're hoping will introduce you to new higher cultural circles in London? Because it could be that he's the one that...
Well, he's likely to be the hungriest of the gang, isn't he?
He's likely to be the hungriest, isn't he? Oh, you... yes.
But he says he can introduce you to Tom Stoppard's nephew.
Tom Stoppard. It's also called Tom Stoppard, but he's much, much less powerful.
So there was flavour in the other meats.
Okay.
But I don't know where they were cooked.
Where?
Yes, it certainly was not at this location.
Okay.
So she doesn't know where it was cooked. I tell you what, this is a good bad review in the sense that she's done her due diligence. Like, she's not just writing it all off going, it was disgusting, it was cold. Like, she identified the fact that there was one warm sausage on the plate. Yes.
I don't know why you decided that Kevin, who wrote this review, is a woman. But you seem fairly sure of it.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. Yeah, that's something to delve into with a therapist. my meat paradigm. Everyone has a meat critic paradigm within them. It's one of the Jungian archetypes, isn't it? My inner meat critic is female.
Interesting. We were given a free round of drinks as an apology.
Okay.
And I say free when we should have asked for a refund and eaten somewhere else where they were cooking the food. I don't understand what Kevin's little theory is.
So Kevin here, she's preoccupied with the location of the... I mean, that's just the cold thing, isn't it? That's like, it's been left out, hasn't it?
I can't work out if this last sentence is sarcastic or not. The staff were friendly but totally inefficient and didn't seem to know what was going on. In fairness, there were nearly 10 people in the restaurant, including the 5 of us, so they could have been overwhelmed with the rush. Is that sarcasm?
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because a pop-up, sometimes these are tiny, aren't they?
That's the trouble with tone. You don't get tone, do you, with text?
I feel I should say that despite the fact there are a couple of bad reviews, overall it has 55 reviews with an aggregate of 4.5 out of 5.
Very decent. So it might be the Kevin's review is an anomaly. Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Anyway, Giants.
Giants, yeah. I suppose technically I live quite near where there were Giants, so they said.
Really?
In olden days. Yeah.
Tell us more.
Well, down the road is got Totnes, the South Devon. And in the myth of Britain, that's where Brutus of Troy did battle with giants, with the indigenous giants of Britain.
Brutus of Troy?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's Brutus of Troy?
Who the hell's Brutus of Troy?
Brutus of Troy, according to Geoffrey of Monmouth, is why we're called Britain. He tried to name the place after himself, but he got it slightly wrong and called it Britain instead of Brutus. You not come across
that's
this?
Absolute bollocks, though.
This is the legend. Yeah, he was from Troy, came over to take over. There were some giants already living here in Totnes for some reason, and he killed them and pushed them into the sea. Bye-bye, giants. Hello, Brutus. Hello, Britain. Away we go.
It just feels like ancient Troy, the Trojan War, Totnes.
It's a lot to splice together, isn't it? Yeah.
They're not...
It feels like a stretch, absolutely. But
it really feels like a stretch.
They went for it. They went for it, absolutely. That was what they were, you know.
Those are from two different sort of mythic universes.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Mythic universe, you know, fusion has been going on for a long time. You know, people keep trying it.
It's an attempt to join two franchises that just simply will not coexist. That would be like trying to join Deadpool and Paddington, essentially.
But you've got to try. You've got to give it a go because once in a blue moon, it's
the merch potential. We are talking putting our children and our children's children through college.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's always worth the blowback. Yeah. It's always worth the punt, and that's one of the earliest recorded examples that we have.
I'd love to see Deadpool versus Paddington.
Is it versus or with? What are we talking here?
I think versus.
It's not a bad combination because they both like a bit of sort of slapstick pratfally action, don't they?
I've got to say I've never seen a Deadpool movie.
I have seen one of them. I think I saw the first one. The question is how would Paddington's innocent repartee fuse with Deadpool's sort of glib badinage? You know?
I mean, watching Paddington just machine gun a load of mafia people to death would be quite fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you think about the audience that's grown up with the new Paddington editions, I mean, by the time you got around to these people who are in early adulthood, right? They're ready for that kind of progression, aren't they? You know,
Paddington funneling boiling hot marmalade onto the face of a cartel boss. That's the kind of thing it'd be quite good to see, wouldn't it? Basically, because Paddington would work out with Deadpool's help that hot marmalade is like four or five times hotter than boiling water, at least. Yeah. and several times more adhesive. So if you could design like a sort of super weapon, a sort of cannon that fires boiling hot marmalade, actually beyond boiling. So marmalade as a kind of, as a sort of hot liquid.
What is the boiling point of marmalade?
Boiling point of marmalade? That could be a crucial part of the film, working it out.
Maybe Mike could play a sort of scientist sidekick kind of figure.
Ooh.
Careful, Paddington. You know that marmalade boils at 5,000 degrees centigrade.
A recurring sort of like Q type figure or someone who's going to get smoked early doors?
Oh, yeah. That's also attractive. Apparently, there's going to be loads of new Bond stuff because Bond has been bought by Amazon.
By Bezos.
Yes.
Yeah, for $1 billion. And so there's just going to be like a slew of kind of like Bond spin-off
Young
TV
Bond.
Series and Young Bond and the Bond universe.
Bond's brother Bob Bond. Hi, I'm Bob. I work in government bonds, which is a coincidence. It's not because I'm called Bob Bond. But
welcome to Money Penny Nights.
Oh, yeah.
It's Money Penny who just, because she works at essentially quite a kind of stressful civil service job. Mm. She just gets home, goes to the gym, gets home early, has quite a healthy meal, watches a box set and goes to sleep.
Yeah.
Money Penny Nights.
But she is trying to do a master's in chemical engineering in her spare time, but that's just really, really struggling to find
she's
the time to.
She's so knackered because it is quite a challenging civil service job she's got. Yeah.
People forget that. The hours are long.
She is learning Italian on Duolingo, though.
And she's got a 400-day streak.
Yeah.
But she's not sure that she's retaining any of the vocab. That's the trouble.
No, that's the thing.
My partner's doing Duolingo, and I looked over her shoulder the other day, and she'd finished the day's lesson or whatever, and she'd succeeded, and it was saying, well done. Mm. And to show how well she'd done, they'd spliced the face of the Duolingo owl onto a unicorn, and it was this horrifying horse with an owl's face.
So what, with the unicorn's... So impaled it with the spike going through the owl's face?
Through the gaping mouth, through the gaping beak of the owl.
They'd kebabbed the owl's face onto the horn of a unicorn.
As a reward.
As a reward. Because that feels they're really... That's psychological manipulation. That's basically a threat. That's saying, and if you don't keep going, imagine how horrific the next image will be.
Yeah, this horn can go through a conceptual owl. What can't it go through? Hmm? Who can't it go through?
No, it wasn't that. It was like an animal where they'd spliced the DNA of the Duolingo owl and the unicorn just to create a kind of horse with the owl's face.
Yeah.
And it was a really horrifying creature. The sort of thing you can imagine going, kill me, just please, kill me.
Please.
Yeah, that's something that should be guarding one of the gates of hell. And
exactly. Rather than saying, well done on your 400-day streak of wealth.
It's quite annoying, isn't it, when you know someone that does Duolingo, I find.
Do you?
It's an annoying sound.
It's an annoying sound.
Because every time they get one right, it goes... Bring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also, it's the annoying sound of that person's improving themselves for the next 5 minutes, and I'm not. I'm just watching a Toblerone melt on my nipple.
And you've forgotten to start the stopwatch again.
How am I ever going to find out which of my nipples is warmest?
In a pub surrounded by other men watching silently watching Only Fools and Horses on a projector screen.
You know, with the Bond thing?
Yeah.
One thing I'm sure they'll do with the spin-off is Q, the early years.
I think I'd like to see some origin stories of some of the baddies, like the lady who had the poisonous knives in her shoes. I'd like to see...
Don't remember her.
Yeah, oh yes.
Very early Bond. Great one.
Okay.
Very early. Sean Connery, I
was terrified of that as a kid, that image. Yeah, what would be her origin story?
But how do you get there? Do you know what I mean? How do you work out that she's...
Would she have been bitten by a radioactive shoe knife? Listen there, so how do you work out the origin story of someone? So her thing is, she dresses up as... She pretends she's a cleaner, but she goes around kicking people with a shoe dagger.
Yeah. Poison shoe dagger.
Maybe her parents were kicked in the face by a horse?
Okay.
I'm just spitballing here.
So, but it's quite difficult logistically for both parents to have been kicked to death by a horse.
Mm.
But also, she needs to have then been doing like a show and tell shoe workshop at school.
Maybe she's a shoemaker.
Oh, that's good.
She would have been the children of Siberian shoemakers.
Good.
Okay, so she's a shoemaker.
Yeah, who were simultaneously kicked to death by the local capitalist mule.
But do you mean a literal mule or a metaphorical mule?
I mean, a literal mule, maybe a mule owned by a sort of local tsarina, something like that. You know, okay. She's born pre-revolution. This
okay,
one.
not specifying the revolution. Doesn't matter though. Leave it open to interpretation. I could.
The bubble tea revolution,
and it is a revolution. But I think she would have gone into the shoe business for good reasons. This is important. In any supervillain origin story, they were nearly good. And then something went wrong to make them bad, which is why they've got that tension in them, which makes them interesting. Think about the shark in Jaws, for example.
Hmm.
Definitely a sense that shark could have.
Could have been a dolphin.
and what is a shark if not just a very, very angry dolphin with some...
And applied so many times.
Yeah.
And we just turned away.
Yeah. Because if you can't prove your address, why just live in the sea? It doesn't count. If you can't prove it, you get trapped in the dolphin shark. Catch 22, isn't it?
You need at least four different utility bills with your name and address on.
Again, I'm a shark.
Utility bills, I live in the sea.
Fucking shark.
No, the library card doesn't count.
So she went into shoemaking to provide free shoes for local children? Or
to provide CPR.
Yeah.
CPR shoes.
CPR shoes or some sort of shoes which save lives.
Defibrillating clogs.
Defibrillating. But that's another word I struggle with is defibrillation. Meteorological. Defibrillation. Yeah, defibrillating. Start with the initial concept. Fibrillation.
No.
Fibrillation is the act of dying because no one's whacking you around the chest. So fibrillation.
Defibrillation.
What is fibrillation? Is there an R in it? Is it like February where there is an R or there isn't an R?
There's an R in it.
There is an R in it. So no. Defibrillation. No. Defibrillation. No, you're not talking about refibrillation. You can't refibrillate.
Relation.
What? defibrillation.
That's why people will call it a defib rather than a defrib or a dreefrib.
Can I say, and by the time I finish this conversation, the patient has died. And that's the problem. If we could just make the spelling of this word simpler, we would save lives, surely. Is it defibrillate, refrigerate? I don't know, we're going to have to refrigerate them soon. He's bloody dead. Sorry, that's quite tasteless. So defibrillation. And fibrillation by itself.
What does it mean, Mike? It means the your cardiac muscles acting erratically, basically. Contracting in a way that's irregular and erratic, okay. and therefore isn't pumping anything.
Ah.
So we think that she may have invented a pair of defibrillation clogs.
Yeah.
Maybe the left clog is defibrillation, the right clog is sort of post-care stuff.
Just meals on wheels for a couple of weeks.
Meals on wheels type stuff. So yeah. maybe it's got, there's a snack in the right one, yeah. the left one. And the left one, you see, take it off and you sort of stab it into the solar plexus, let's say, mm-hmm. of the person.
Yep.
And maybe it has an electric current in it or something.
Yeah.
So it's a really positive invention.
But along comes the capitalist West, and the capitalist West buys the idea, you know, telling Olga that she's going to make good out of it, but they fleece her. She loses the IP.
Then Emile kicks both her parents to death.
Yeah.
Unrelated?
I think it's one of those ones where it's one of those days where it's the last straw. So
yeah.
her idea is stolen by the West.
Yeah.
And she decides to let off some steam by visiting a donkey sanctuary with her parents.
Yeah.
Because it's Soviet Russia. There's not a lot of options mm-hmm. entertainment-wise, yep. is it? It's not like in America where you just put on a pair of blue jeans and smoke on Marlboro mm-hmm. and watch Buddy Holly.
You can only dream of that. There's also all the other letters of the alphabet, of course, aren't there? To be explored. Spin-off wise.
Yeah, because we never see A or B.
There's also, numerically, all the other double O's. They've literally got several different types of infinity they can delve into, yeah. IP-wise.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Because you've got 008, you've got 009, you've got 0010, you've got 0011, 0012, you've got 00... Probably wouldn't do that 13. 004. Actually, 0013 would be quite good.
00 Susan.
00 Susan.
It's becoming increasingly clear we're not going to be talking about giants today.
We are talking about giants. James Bond is a cultural giant, Benjamin.
That's true. But I'm going to put the blame squarely at the feet mm-hmm. of Samuel from 84A okay. High Street.
Because of his address.
Well, because if he hadn't suggested giants, the fact that we haven't talked about giants wouldn't be an issue, for one thing.
Exactly.
So he is like a stick of rock through this problem, is Samuel L. Johnson from 84A High Street. Like a stick of rock, isn't it? You cannot separate Samuel L. Johnson. Is that what he's called? What's he
called? Samuel.
I presidentified his name. I've upgraded him to one of those presidents you haven't heard of.
That might have invented a dictionary or a thesaurus or something.
Or something. Yeah. Or bacon. Or the waffle. Okay, well... We haven't got long left now, have we? But well, there's just a quick, absolute rattle stop tour mm-hmm. through giants.
Yeah.
So I think the reason we haven't got much to say about giants, I think, is because they are, I'm going to say this, the crappiest mythological beast.
Are you sure?
Because a giant is basically, imagine if you had to think of a mythological beast. Oh, a griffin, the face of a lion, the body of a dog.
A domesticated griffin, you mean?
Ooh, an Inconclox. The face of a ram. The body of Adrian Childs. The feet of an alligator.
And one very long finger.
But this person has gone, think of a mythical beast. Just a really big person. So what their features? They've got a funny face. Ooh, claws. No, just exactly the same as a person, but really big. Hang on. Have you been inspired to come up with this idea by the fact that I'm standing really close to you? You look like a really big person, and I'm right now. Yeah. So it's basically, imagine a person really close to you.
Right.
But if he wasn't really close to you.
So you think it was someone who's commissioned to sort of write an Icelandic saga or something like that and just hadn't got around to it. It's a deadline issue, basically.
Look, we all know this kind of work. Mm. It's freelance stuff. You're working for yourself, your own boss. It's hard, you know.
Yeah. You've got to come up with some Norse mythology.
I mean, it might be one of those ones where maybe they thought, oh, this is brilliant because it's so simple. And then they've gone, oh, how about a really small person? That's already been done. Gnomes. How about a really average person? That's already been done. Adrian Childs. Isn't it? Big fan of Adrian Childs, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Who isn't?
I'd like to do a little plug for a TV show that I'm very much enjoying at the moment called Fun Boys.
Oh, yes.
Which is on iPlayer. Mm-hmm. And it's a comedy series set in Northern Ireland. And it's really, really funny and brilliant. I really love it. I've devoured... There's four episodes, which I've devoured. It's produced by friend of the pod, Simon Mayhew Archer.
Yes, I've started it. It's excellent. Yeah. I can get behind that.
But he's a guy that we've all worked with.
He also produced This Country, which is excellent. So if you had any interest in that, which I'm sure you did.
Yeah. And one thing he's got in common with all the Beans is that he's got a cold, hard BAFTA in his... front room. And we've all got front rooms.
Yeah, I've not had a sniff of a BAFTA.
I've not even had a
BAFTA.
Not even close. Really, really great show. Very, very funny and silly.
Yeah, I've not started yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
Fun Boys.
It is excellent.
Cool. All right, let's read some emails.
Yes, please.
Now, normally I'd play the email jingle, but we've had one sent in from Rosie.
Thank you, Rosie.
She says, hello, Beans. Last time I sent in a jingle, brackets, a ukulele theme tune in the style of a shit bank advert, it was described as abhorrent and my least favourite kind of music by Bonjamin.
I remember that. But I remember that very vividly. And that kind of music is despicable, and it's still out there. And it's directly inversely proportionate to the evil of the company, is how innocent and sweet. And it's basically the music that would be played if a gamboling lamb could somehow be given human hands and taught to play a banjo. That's the sound it would make.
Well, she writes, undeterred, I've arranged the email jingle into the style.
Undeterred?
Undeterred.
Oh. I thought you said undeterred. Which she did, in
you
a
found
way.
A new homophone.
I found a new homophone. Undeterred.
How do I say this without it sounding like undeterred?
It's really hard to say undeterred without it sounding like exactly like undeterred.
Undeterred.
There must be someone who's got an autobiography that's unfortunately named Undeterred.
Adrian Childs, Undeterred. We've already printed 4 million copies, Adrian. I'm sorry, it's too late.
So Rosie writes, undeterred.
The photo on the front cover, it shouldn't have been you wearing a cowpat for a hat. That is as a beret.
But that's why we keep saying you've got to check your emails, Adrian.
That's why we tell you to check them.
Undeterred. I have arranged the email jingle into the style of a Mozart concert aria. Ooh. In an attempt to alienate all of the Beans. Well, this will do quite the opposite for me.
I don't like Mozart. Ben doesn't like arias. Mike doesn't like concerts.
So I'm looking forward to this one. So here we go. This is Rosie's Mozart version.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the postmasters that came before. And if you call me just some old shit, when you send an email, this represents progress. Like a postmaster showing a horse, like a postmaster showing a horse, give me your hoof, my beautiful horse.
Oh, my Rosie. Word.
That's superb. But Ben, all your first goes at every jingle are basically that. because you're Habsburg.
With that same voice.
Habsburg heritage. In your Viennese blood.
It's a harpsichord rather than a piano is the only difference, isn't it?
Yeah, you have... You sing in the castrato range, don't you? It's because it's a byproduct of the amount of carvery food you're eating. It's given you a beautifully soft castrato.
It's because of all the hormones and the illegal meats, isn't it?
It's the pig fattening hormones. It's the beef leanening hormones.
The lamb shattering hormones.
Yeah. And also the hormones that they give those goats to make them come out looking like broccoli, because the broccoli they serve is actually meat. It's broccolizing hormones.
Broccolized goats. Yeah.
Broccolized goats.
Rosie, that was really good. Thank you so much for sending us
that. Superb, wasn't it, Rosie?
That was so good. You know what? I've never in my life have I more wanted to just exist in...
In the time of the...
Prussia or wherever the fuck Mozart existed and whenever the fuck that was.
Our first email is from Jennifer.
Hello,
this one's short and sweet.
Thanks, Jennifer.
She said, listen to Film Corner, which by the way, is one of our Patreon spin-off episodes. Drilled into my finger. End of email.
Okay, now just Jennifer, to be clear to people, that's an accidental drilling, we think, isn't it? It's not in order to gain some semblance of feeling alive, or is it? Ben, what do you think? It's an accidental drilling, right?
I don't know. Or there's a pattern emerging.
So do you think, what do you think that is, Mike? Do you think that's deliberate?
I don't know.
Because of irritation or?
I don't know that even they would know if it's deliberate. I mean, I think it's deepest. More primordial than that.
Yeah.
It's spine brain.
So anyway.
Proper reflex. Just
we do, that's the reason we do recommend.
Chainmail gloves.
To listen to the podcast wearing chainmail gloves or medieval gauntlets, which you can normally get someone to make for you online bespoke for about £4,000 or £5,000. Isn't it? And weirdly, it does help to listen to the podcast if you are operating industrial machinery, because generally, if you're legally operating industrial machinery, you'll be wearing a hard hat. You'll be probably wearing super super reflective clothing, very very hard hard shell gloves. You know what I mean? You're in a safety. You're actually, to be honest, there's nowhere safer to do most things than if you're operating industrial machinery. There's huge amounts of money at stake. There's massive insurance protocols. There's a lot of health and safety. Hobnail boots. So basically, if in doubt. Try and get a job as a crane operator or something.
Do get your forklift license before listening, I would say. It's just a baseline. We've had an email from Jared.
Hello, Jared.
Jared says, I wonder whether you could move into another direction. Topical political chat. I know politics doesn't come up much outside of the context of witheringly Swiftian satire, but there's a real niche here. Based on anecdote analysis, I think you could cover three key points on the political spectrum. Ben. Right wing, brackets, Victorian industrialist. Okay.
Interesting.
Is this based on a sort of personality breakdown?
I think this is based on what he's heard us say over the past few years.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's pegging me as right wing, brackets, Victorian industrialist.
Certainly none of that's ringing not true. it checks out.
Okay. Mike.
Yeah.
Right wing, brackets, provincial thriller reading Saber Rattler.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Henry, right wing.
It's good to have all the wings covered, or all sections of the same wing at least covered.
Brackets, ancient regime Marquis who shaves his head so he can wear powdered wigs. Brackets closed.
Oh, very good.
Thanks for your podcast, Jared from Australia.
Love it.
Thanks, Jared.
Yeah, so we cover the whole spectrum of right wing in Jared's vision, which
absolutely.
Is
absolutely. Yeah.
I will remind everyone that we are politically neutral.
We are politically neutral. We don't care if you live or die. Bring back hanging, don't bring back hanging. Nationalize the railway, don't nationalize the railway.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
but the Overton window has moved now, hasn't it? So that just means we have to be right wing.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, I mean, yeah, as podcasters.
What's the Overton window?
So sort of the what's acceptable within sort of political and media landscapes.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is it called the Overton window?
It would have been described by a man called David Overton, I imagine.
So at the moment, what's acceptable is shifted to the right.
Yes, in the same people doing the sort of gestures on stage that were widely would have been seen as offensive a short while ago, are now being done by. High-profile figures.
The fact that I do pelvic thrusts during my new life experiments, Mike, is just a way of getting the energy up. Interesting.
Tom emails.
Hello, Tom.
Dear Beans, due to the rip-roaring success of the podcast, I can only assume that it will run for decades with you three at the helm, followed by centuries of the podcast being hosted by AI replica Bean Husks.
Yes.
However, there is one terrifying event that may throw a spanner in the works. In the year 2040, which I'm sure you can agree is just on the horizon, the month of February will have
a leap fifth Wednesday.
Good God.
Holy shit. So if you're born on that day, you technically won't exist.
You're fully off grid.
You're completely off grid. And you won't have to pay tax, but you also won't be due Medicaid, which also won't exist anymore because everything will be controlled by drones anyway. Wow.
Medi-drones.
Medi-drones. And the Medi-drones will actually, their job will be to clean your infection, i.e. destroy you, because human life has been calculated to be an illness.
This is intolerable to me. Tom, thank you so much for flagging this up. This means we basically have just under 15 years to find another way for the calendar to adjust itself.
Yes.
This is what's going to bring the world together, finally.
Well, he then says, right. Not only that, but in 2040, Valentine's Day and Pancake Day will both happen on the same day.
No, that's gross. I find that gross. That can't be right.
Shrovelmas? What?
Valenshroves?
Valenshroves?
I'm gonna let you into something quite... I'm going to let the listener into something quite personal.
Okay.
Here. Is that me and my betrothed,
yeah.
We eschew Valentine's Day and we observe instead Pancake Day. It's the date of our first ever date.
Ah, nice.
We both find Valentine's Day gross.
It is, yeah.
But I've heard, Mike, that the real reason for that is because for you guys, every other day is actually Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's constant heart-shaped chocolates, heart-shaped balloons.
Yeah. I'm reading the story of martyred saints.
That sounds like a good philosophy.
So that's going to be throw a spanner in the works.
So isn't Pancake Day a bit hard to observe, especially with kids and stuff? Like midweek, you suddenly got to make pancakes in the morning. Is that really annoying? How do you do it in the evening?
We do it all the live long day.
You just make pancakes all day.
Well, thanks for letting us know about that, Tom. As Mike says, we've got what 15 years to think about how to deal with
it. A couple of little questions. Yeah. That spring up. What the hell does he actually mean, this bloke?
So I think he means that there'll be five Wednesdays in the month of February. Creating a fifth Wednesday.
It's not possible because February has 29 days max. What's 29 divided by 7? Give me a second.
It's
29.
It's not going to help you this
divided by 7 is 4.1. So there's a maximum of 4.1 sevens in 29.
I think he's suggesting that the 1st of February would be a Wednesday and therefore the 29th of February would also be a Wednesday.
Yeah.
How's that, Henry?
No idea what you mean.
But this is the problem.
But are you counting zero?
This is what Tom is going to have to face, because most of the world will be like, this sounds like rubbish. It's nonsense. It can't be true.
But leap years happen when every 4 years there isn't a February because it just isn't time. a leap year happens because there's a spare day every 4 years. They stick it on at the end of February 29th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. So what he's saying is, in 2040 there'll be a February where
not only is there the extra day that
the fourth Wednesday will be a 29th.
No, the fifth Wednesday.
The fifth Wednesday will be the 29th.
The fifth Wednesday will be a 29th.
Mm.
Which will mean
that.
Oh God. It's so big I can't actually comprehend it, and it feels like it might not be that big, but that's a mistake because of how big it actually is.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what's the biggest monster possible?
Is it a goat with the face of a child? Or was it a child with the face of a goat? Wasn't it?
That's the weirdest monster possible. Maybe like, you're standing on it. That's the biggest monster. Oh, fuck, I didn't realise it. I was just having a picnic. I thought, no, you're on it. The field is the monster. Ah, oh, God. It's one of those.
Last email's from Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, Beans. I recently lost a pub quiz by a small margin. One of the questions we got wrong asked which of the British intelligence services does foreign intelligence. I can never remember whether it's MI5 or MI6. Could you, brackets mainly looking at Mike here, give me a helpful rhyme to help me remember the difference? Mm. Thanks a bunch, Alex.
That's actually quite handy. I could do with this. That's handy because I always forget.
Ooh.
So MI5 is home, is it? And MI6 is abroad. Mm-hmm.
If your problem is in St. Ives, the people you're looking for are MI5. However, if the problem is in
the territory where you might find the birthplace town of Hans Blix.
Very good, Henry. Then the people you need are MI6.
MI5 stays on the British Isles. You allowed a half rhyme?
Yeah.
MI6 takes dodgy holiday pics.
I like it.
Quite good, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who signed up at our Patreon.
Thank you.
Patreon.com/threebeansalad. If you sign up, you get bonus episodes. If you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, not only do you get video episodes, you also get a shout out from Mike from the Sean Bean Lounge.
Indeed you do.
And Mike was there last night.
I was.
It was sculpting your favourite horror characters from Root Veg night, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Thank you, Henry. And here's my report.
It was sculpting your favourite horror character from Root Veg night last night at the Sean Bean Lounge. In the life-sized section, Rachel Watson teamed up with Ben, Luke and Sue to make a beetroot Freddy Krueger, while Joshua Wood, Stephanie Mangano and Archie GMWSBMB sculpted an impressive Pennywise from a prize-winning Korean yam. In the small wall-mounted television during a close-up-sized section, Eva Finney, The Darkness and JKS wowed with a Hannibal Lecter made from balanced radishes, although it toppled down when Claire Bean, Will Bryant, Sam Emsley and Gumbo 3000 and fired up the Arrowroot speakers on their turnip Phantom of the Opera. Logan Cordy and Ed Whiteley won the Potato Jason competition with a Maris Piper sculpture of the one-off of Friday the 13th, with silver and bronze going to Ezra Rears and Sarah Thornley for their King Edward Statham and Nick Argyropoulos, and Cyril's Donovan Dauphinoise, respectively. Louise McCabe, Colin Ruddock, Josie Sutton and Crispin Heath's Garlic, that woman from Misery that Kathy Bates played, was eaten as a dare by Sam Thomas, who was then roasted by Madeline Bialik, grated by Maddie Ford, incorporated into a pile of pork mince by Robin Mills, and served on a sourdough toast by Toast. In the red corner, a chufa Michael Myers, hand-carved by Anna Blackwell, Alex Marshall and Sarah, took on a celeriac Norman Bates, built by Keely Jones, Graham D, Matty Fall and Rev Dr. Swan. The bout was neck and neck until interrupted by Christopher Griffin and Ben Iford, lobbing a Jerusalem artichoke Leatherface into the ring. This act of sabotage led many spectators to think the fight had moved to a free-for-all. And in moments, Melanie Raganor had luzzed in a carrot pinhead, Itaya Saw a turmeric ghost face, and Jeremy Rubin, Tom Wilkins, Bradley Levantine and Shara Adriance hurled in a blood-spattered pignut carry. In the Onion Zone, Din, Lorraine, Samantha Hughes, Simon Neville and Diggory Laycock all presented horseradish Chucky relief sculptures. The Ungovernable Menace teamed up with Dana Smith, Rebecca Harper, Sarah King and Louise Parkin to make a 3D collage scallion Dracula, and Jenna Roberts, Charlotte, Linky, Walker underscore Inc. and Justin Moore pooled their resources to make an Imhotep on the Rampage with a single shallot. David F. sold out, Quentin Weed and Sam Shine almost won a discretionary award for their parsnip Frankenstein's monster, but were outdone by Robbie McInnes, Helen McLean and Robbie Crowther using Earthnut P to sculpt Frankenstein's monster's monster. Matt Patterson, Barney Marnie and Fred Wu were caught attempting to rustle up a last-minute brassica Frankenstein's monster's monster's monster in an attempt to win a gong, but instead they found their sculpture and themselves mulched into Sean Bean's sweet potato compost to aid in the growing of Root Veg for future events and Root Veg-based public holidays. Elsewhere, Tana Shea presented A to scale the iceberg from Titanic, sculpted from groundnut, and Kate Raven bowled over the crowd literally and figuratively with a massive fennel sculpture of one of the bees that killed Macaulay Culkin in My Girl. Thanks all.
Okay, that's your show. Let's finish off with a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you lot. And this one is from Oliver.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thanks, Ollie.
Have you Ollied him?
I've Ollied him. I've gone straight to Ollie. I reckon. You know, he listens to the pod. I think we're cool, me and Ollie. Unless he's one of those people that listens to the pod despite Henry Packer, of which there are.
A growing constituency.
A growing and increasingly voluble constituency. Another word I struggle with. Meteorological constituency.
Oliver writes, long-time listener, Ratmus Forever. I sent in a cover of the intro theme a few years ago, but I guess it got lost.
Well, may have been accidentally transferred into the folder of ones that Ben thought wasn't very good.
Oh, no. No, they all get played. Sometimes they just fall between gaps.
The digi cracks.
Yeah. So he sent it again, which is a good idea if you have sent one and we haven't used it.
Yeah.
So this is from Oliver, and it's a retro video game version.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's the end of the show. See you next time.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Cheerio.